Hi, and welcome to Dad FM. I'm your host, Adam, along with...
This is Drew Bennett from BenSpark.com.
Jeff Bogle from OWTK.com.
And this week, we're diving right into things with one of our passions of life these days, which is always going to be superheroes, right? We grew up on comic books. But Drew, talk to us about comic books in your world these days. Have they changed in recent years?
Let's see. For me, comic books started with the Transformers comics when I was about 10 years old. I made my parents stop on the way to the Cape almost every weekend so I could go to a comic book store and pick up whatever books might have been there. And of course, being a 10-year-old kid thinking, there's going to be some every week, but they weren't. So I always with those. And now my comic book, The things that are out there for comic book fans now are insane. This today alone, there was a debut for the Netflix series Daredevil, Marvel series that's going to be on Netflix, coming out April 10th, I believe. The entire series you can watch. And they had a trailer for that, which is really cool. It looks dark.
Really dark. It's not like It's not one that I'm watching with the kids. It is going to be dark.
No, I don't watch any of the superhero stuff on TV with the kids. It's all dark and too dark for them. Even the lightest of the light ones, which is the Flash, is still pretty dark at points. You've got on there, you got Gotham, you've got the Arrow, you've got the Flash. I think Constantine's in there somewhere, but I don't even know if that's still a viable, show still on. Then you've got coming out is the Teen Titans. And this week they revealed the lineup of the team, not necessarily anybody who's playing any of the characters, but the lineup of the team is going to be, of course, Dick Grayson. So it's starting with his split from Batman. So he's still Robin. And eventually he's going to grow into Nightwing. And then from Dick Grayson, there's also Barbara Gordon, who has never been a character of the Teen Titans. But she's supposedly going to be Oracle in everything but name. So she's going to be in a wheelchair. She's going to operate as a Titans information source. Then we've got Raven and Starfire, as well as, Hawk and Dove. So that's going to be the lineup for the Titans. Now, you'll notice that missing from the roster, and if you're watching any of the cartoons, that some of the people who have been in the Titans before, the Beast Boy and Cyborg, those guys are missing. Cyborg possibly because of the Justice League Cyborg and solo Cyborg film, and Beast Boy maybe will be a character coming on later. So that's some stuff that's happening. That's going to be on TNT. And then also Gotham's one that I've been watching. That one's on Fox, and it's basically the city of Gotham and some of the villains getting their starts. They're not quite the villains that they are at the time when Batman is around, but they're becoming those villains that they are. And then also Jim Gordon, who becomes eventually Commissioner Gordon, how he becomes who he is. That's a dark show, and it's been really good coming along. It's not one that I don't think started that strong, but it's definitely getting stronger. The more the character who plays the Penguin, as he becomes more his influence over people in Gotham. He is an amazing character actor. I mean, he's an actor is incredible. The way he's doing the Penguin, which is pretty cool. So and then the Arrow, which is my favorite of all of them. I like that one the most, and it's getting better and better. We're in season 3. there's been a number of different characters who have kind of come on, and they're getting up to speed in who they are. But you know, we're still all centered around Oliver Queen and his team. So,
I'm sorry, I just sort of like zoned out after you started talking about having anything Titans related that Beast Boy might not be involved in, like that. That's like sacrilegious for me and for my daughters who are so in love with Beast Boy from Tiny Titans fame. That is that was their introduction to that, and he is by far the best. We had a Tiny Titans birthday party a couple years ago and ordered a bunch of autographed comics from Art Baltazar directly, and he threw in a sketch of Beast Boy for my oldest daughter that we have framed in her room. So that,
how very
that is
cool.
I can't even conceive of a Titans related media entity that doesn't involve Beast Boy prominently. I'm not even sure I can continue this evening with that news.
Well, I know Beast Boy is one of the ones that I enjoy. He's also voiced by Greg Sipes, who voices Michelangelo in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles show.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's her favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. That's really funny.
Yeah,
I had no
Greg
idea.
Sipes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Be cool.
He does a lot of characters. Yeah.
Very cool.
But that's what I'm seeing around the web here.
I think you missed one other character that's coming to life on TV, which is Wonder Woman.
What? No, I guess I did miss that. I didn't realize that there's going to be an actual Wonder Woman character on TV.
Yes,
I thought that was...
there's going to be a Wonder Woman character on TV.
So I
think they just started casting for that. And then, of course, there's going to be some more Marvel shows. And that looks really, you know, awesome.
So, oh, the Jessica Jones.
Right, Jessica Jones. And then, you know, next year they're also talking about having... having whatchamacallit, who was the other one? Nick Fury. Oh man, my geekdom. I should get the card taken away now. Come on.
Hey, let me jump in and help you there, huh?
Please.
You missed me there, Ferg.
Oh,
you mean
man.
Nick Cage? No, Luke Cage.
Luke Cage. There you go. Luke
but he's going to be part of that. He's going to be part of that show, the Jessica Jones show.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. He's a character in that.
An Iron Fist, and what's the other ones you got?
Well, Power Man and Iron Fist. There was a comic, you know, and who again? Greg Sipes also voices Power Fist.
Okay.
No, Iron Fist. Iron Fist. Sorry, Iron Fist on Ultimate Spider-Man.
All right. So Iron Fist and Luke Cage are going to be in some show. You know,
okay.
The Defenders, I heard something about that. I don't know. There's some good things happening over at Netflix. And awesome.
Let me know when I can jump back in with stuff that I can talk about anytime. I'll just sit here on the sidelines.
Comics has been pretty good for, you know, has been exhausted for a bit.
Yeah. Well, I actually, the one thing about going back to hardcore comics, there's one guy that I've been looking at, and I love what he's got going on, which is this guy called Scotty Young. And if you follow him, he does all the little kid versions, the variant covers, and he does all the kid versions of those. And I got to tell you, they are incredible. I'm sure, Drew, you've seen the covers, right? The baby Star Wars guys and the baby X-Men, and you know, they look like little kids. So it's done by this guy called Scotty Young, and you know, I started following him on social media after I got to read some of his stuff, and all of a sudden, like I'm looking at this feed, and it's like, what a great father, and like, you know, lives out in Chicago and commutes to New York to do his meetings and stuff, and just overall, like he's so pro fatherhood that he plays with this kid all the time, and I love that. I love when you start seeing a guy behind it and being like, he does all those doodles for the kids and like just like the career and everything. Like, what an awesome kind of role that is. So in terms of comic book art, I'm really loving that. And I'm, you know, actually kind of looking to find a page of his that I could pick up from Mark, because I would love to have some of his original artwork. And so I think I'm going to pick up one of those pretty soon.
Yeah, he does some fantastic stuff. I mean, those covers are incredible.
Yeah, for sure. And then, yeah, so comic book-wise, I'm good with comic books for now for a while. I just really started getting Mark into comic books. And so he's been kind of, he started with the Skylander comics, and now he's doing some more. And he's having a great time with it, and he loves it. And so I'm really ecstatic that he's into it.
That's very cool. I think there was a quote the other day from LeVar Burton. I posted on my Facebook wall, you know, said if your kid likes superheroes, buy him comics, damn it. You know, get him reading. You know, if that's what he's interested in, get some comic. There's plenty of comics for kids.
For sure. For sure.
I mean, that's what Free Comic Book Day has been all about, is getting kids into comics, because a lot of those free comics are kid-based comics. And I've been taking my daughter since she was 2 years old to Free Comic Book Day, and my son has since he was two, and we go and we get comics for the kids, and the free ones, at least they can learn how to handle themselves with comics on the free ones.
I went to a Free Comic Book Day once. Did anybody want to hear about that?
Yes, Jeff. Why don't you talk about that?
No, we did. It was back in the Teen Titan day and the Superman Family Adventures, which quickly followed for us back a couple years ago, I guess. And we went to one, and I had to find out where the closest comic book store was near us, because I had no idea. And so we go, and it was such a surreal event, because I had, frankly, it's possible that I'd never stepped foot in a comic book store before that moment. There was like a radio station there broadcasting, and it was a radio station that was sort of the classic rock or like the jockey kind of radio station. And so it was just such a surreal moment to be like, so this is where we are in the 21st century, because back when I was growing up, not that I was into either one of those things, but those two segments of the population would never intermingle whatsoever. And now that's just like, it's so ubiquitous in society, and that it's a cool thing to be into comics and superheroes, that even like the jockey classic rock kind of like the music, the hair metal and all that stuff that people, I assume that's what the radio station still plays, that is that there is crossover there now. Cause that like my thinking about my brother's generation who were not into comics, and they probably made fun of the kids who were into comics. And now that is just completely seamlessly integrated. I mean, I guess that's a cool thing. It was a very weird thing to see that radio station at that event, and that's just like, everything's so cool. I just was struck by that. And 2 years later, I'm still sort of struck by how society has changed, and how it is like geek culture, I guess. I don't really like using those terms, but that is so woven into just mainstream America now. Well, that there is no sort of line of demarcation that I can see. Maybe there is. Maybe you got to go deeper, kind of like with indie music too. Like, there is no weird music anymore. The weird music is in Marriott commercials and is on iTunes commercials. If there is no like underground anymore.
Well, I think there's definitely something to deal with, where you definitely are saying that, you know, Marvel and Disney and DC has kind of, I don't really think DC has, but Marvel, and Marvel being owned by Disney, has really changed the landscape of where things sit. And I think that has helped make it, you know, less of a pariah kind of thing. Like, I remember growing up, and comic books used to be like, yo, that's a nerd thing, you geeky kind of guy. And then the cool kids had baseball cards. And I never really understood the difference. Like, baseball cards and comic books, they were like one and the same. They were actually most of the time printed at the same place for half the time. So I really didn't get that as much. But, you know, I think now you're seeing that we've grown up in a generation where, the heroes and the cartoons weren't like just cartoons. Like we grew up and it was Voltron and He-Man, but they weren't comic books. We've grown up now, our kids are growing up in a generation, and even some of the like maybe younger cousins of us have grown up in a generation where they grew up with X-Men as animated cartoons, and that was more seamless and integrated into their childhood. And then with Disney buying out Marvel, it made it even more so that these incredible movies that have been around for 10 years have been great, you know, regular movies. Like you could go see a superhero movie now and it might not be what you expected it to be, you know, 20 years ago, where it was like a campy kind of thing of like Captain America spinning a shield at a guy that looked really bad. Then right. Again, we still get movies like Green Lantern, which is awfulness, you know, but we have, you know, we have studios making incredible movies that talk about character depth and that struggle, and you could sit there and relate to that. So I get it. And I'm totally, totally in love with where we are in society, that the geek is now chic. And that the jock is, and the jock is like great. You could be a jock, you could be a geek, but you're not going to get pummeled as much so anymore. And I think the idea of bullying is now taking a different form. And I think, you know, I was bullied a little bit as a kid from the comic books and from that nerd stature, but it's very different now. And I think that's a good thing that we got to.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to agree with that. So
oh, good segue to go nowhere with.
dead air, love it. This week in dead air.
Fix it. Hey, in post. So
what's yeah right? So I want. So this weekend coming up, this is something that I can talk about. This weekend is the Grammy Awards out in La La Land, and. I wanted to just go over a little bit about some people don't actually know that. Most people probably don't know that there are like 85 awards actually handed out with the Grammys every year, but you only see, I think they give out like 8 on the actual 4-hour broadcast on Sunday evening. The rest of them are given out in a pre-telecast before the big show. Across the street, it's in a different building too, and included in those you have like, you know, best traditional flamenco album and best instrumental jazz album, all the, you know, all the kind of relatively obscure, you know, it's not the Lady Gagas and the whoever is relevant right now in the pop music world, name escapes me. But also included in that is the Kids Grammy, and now in the past. That's it. For a long time, that was like TV music. It was Elmo and it was the Muppets. And but lately, that the tide is kind of changing, and which I think is a good thing, to recognize the quality music, the independent music that's being made for families, and that's independent from Disney and independent from television programs. Actual music being made by actual musicians. Not necessarily just trying to move, you know, toothbrush merchandise or branded stuff. So that's kind of a cool thing. This year, 4 of the 5 nominees in the Kids Best Kids Grammy CD are from the Kindy, that's kids plus indie, world. They're the Okie Dokie Brothers. This is their second nomination. They won the Grammy 2 years ago. This is they're nominated for their album Through the Woods, that is fantastic. Secret Agent 23 Skidoo is a hip-hop artist formerly of Asheville, North Carolina. He now lives out in Northern California. His new album called The Perfect Quirk is nominated. It's his first nomination. And then the Pop-Ups, they're a duo from Brooklyn. I call them the Daft Punk of kids music, like electro pop music. This is their second nomination as well. They lost to the Okie Dokie Brothers 2 years ago for their last album, and so they're mad. They got to start releasing albums in different cycles because they're up against the Okie Dokie Brothers again. They put out an album called Appetite for Construction, which is, it's really remarkable. NPR reviewed it a couple months ago. It's a terrific disc. And finally, Brady Reimer and the little band that could. He's from Long Island, New York. It's his second nomination. He was nominated about, I think it was 4 years ago. His album's called Just Say Hi, and he is kind of like, I call him the Hootie and the Blowfish or John Cougar Mellencamp, Bruce Springsteen, like kind of feel good classic American rock and roll for kids and families. The fifth nominee in this category is not music. It is Malala's audiobook, I Am Malala. I have no idea why that's nominated. It's a terrific book, terrific story. It is not original material. It is the audio recording of a book. And that, unfortunately, I would imagine will probably win, because it's just, when you get those smaller categories, a lot of it is name recognition. So nobody has more name recognition than she does. So that would be very unfortunate, because there's a story to tell if any one of those other four actually take home the prize. But I fear that that will not be the case. There used to be a separate category for spoken word album for children, where this album by Malala, the audiobook, would have landed a couple years ago, but that is no longer the case. It's been folded into just one catch-all category. But I would urge families looking for real music for their kids and themselves. I listen to all this stuff with and without the children. Still, it is all incredible. And I'm a music snob, and I can say that I love this music. So, definitely worth checking out. And maybe we'll pop on next week, let you know who won. You can watch the pre-telecast online, so it's not on CBS. But it is available on Grammy.com. You can stream the whole thing live. I don't know. Again, there's a ton of categories. It's I've been to it in person. It's sort of an arduous process to get through. All best classical album, best classical solo album, all of that stuff. I don't know where the kids' music one is in the list. Last year it was like fourth from last, which was painful process to sit through. To get to the one that I was most curious about. But check it out at Grammy.com on Sunday afternoon if you're feeling up for watching and hearing about music that you've never heard of before. Have you guys ever been out to any shows? I mean, Adam, you're in like the mecca of kids' music in New York.
So,
have you ever hit up Symphony Space or any of the summertime Madison Square Park or any other summer stage, all that stuff?
Yeah, I've done a tremendous amount of Kindy Rock in Manhattan. I've seen them when they play Irving Plaza. I've seen them at Madison Square Park. I've seen them at Symphony Space. I've seen them, you know, to heck, I've even hired a few when I was working at a store that I used to bands into. I used to book people in. Yeah. So I used to bring in bands that I really liked, like, the Dirty Sock Funtime Band and Susie
Sheldon. Yes, I saw them at them. I was just going to mention, I saw them at that store. Yeah.
I had a great job, and it was pretty much run a candy store. And it wasn't a candy store per se. It was a kid's toy store and a baby infant kind of shop. And so part of what I did in terms of marketing promotion was bringing these great bands. And so I got to know the industry really well for a very short period of time and get to be friendly with a lot of these artists and authors and musicians, and I had like some really incredible access. And so I've seen a lot of the bands. I've actually worked with Dirty Sox Funtime Band since. I've actually had them come to my son's school as a fundraiser last year. We booked them as the music concert, and it was incredible. We had 300 raging kids out of this school of like 900 kids come to a concert. They just ran around like animals.
That's awesome.
And the band played on in the corner, and everyone had a great time. But yeah, it's the scene in New York is incredible. The scene, you know, Boston, Philly, they have great musicians. I will say, like, I follow the Dallas listings a lot, and it's really hard in Dallas to find like a good kindy band. Like a couple of them come through every once in a while, but yeah. It's much more local talent in Dallas, and in some towns I really kind of feel like that. So I really feel like it's hard to get these people the exposure that I really need, unless, like, I gotta be honest, Jeff, I read your blog religiously because I know that you have your pulse on this kindy, you know, music. And if I don't want to go get a Kidz Bop album, what else can I get? And, that, exactly. And that's kind of what's marketed to kids. You get Kidz Bop, which is just taking the mainstream radio songs and not even kid friendly in them. Because
no.
I was listening to kids sing Timber. And no, Timber is not a kid song in any way, straight stretch of the imagination. And without changing lyrics, it's still talking. Timber is still the act of, you know, of a relationship that only parents should really engage in. Not my 6 year old son should be singing that song to the kids that's probably only like 12 and 13.
So, yeah, no, those CDs are a pox on society. They really are. Like, it's so gross.
I don't know. Like, I like the idea of the kids singing it, but what I liked better was when it was Kid Bop 1 and 2, they changed the lyrics. They've since stopped changing the lyrics because of whatever rights and permissions they needed to get. They're just singing the same song, just with a different voice. And to me, that changed this complexion for me. Because, it's not like I have a problem with him listening to One Direction, thinking that One Direction is a bad influence. It's some of the lyrics in the One Direction song that I have maybe a problem with. And One Direction is probably the worst example of that, because none of their lyrics are that innuendo or that directly related to drugs or sex or any of that stuff. Whereas when you listen to whatever the artist's name is that does Timber, with Pitbull and what's her name? The blonde. There you go.
No idea.
Right.
I've spent the last 24 years of my life definitely on the outside of. I know a lot about pop culture. I mean, I've been to three of the last four Grammy Awards, so I've seen people perform that I otherwise would never have heard of or seen. But I cannot tell you who it is you're thinking.
I'm thinking of Kesha.
Okay.
And so it's a Pitbull song with Kesha, but I keep thinking of it much more of a Kesha song than Pitbull. But yeah, the lyrics are, it's the whole thing is about the idea of going down in a sexual way. And so I really have a problem with that. And I didn't like the idea that it was on the Kids Bop album last time around. And I didn't, you know, there's a whole thing to that I didn't really love, that they stopped changing the lyrics to. And I thought, like, changing the lyrics and making it a lot more kid friendly made those albums something that was more kid friendly. But, you know, I think that Disney has stepped away from doing as much as they used to do in terms of kids' album. I think in the last several years they felt very burned by Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus, and I think they felt very like, we need to take a step back and really analyze what we're doing in this space. They still do Disney Kid Radio, which is great if you like some of those songs. I think they're now kind of recycling a lot of their old movie soundtracks to be like, oh yeah, these are the songs, and a lot more Frozen kind of stuff. I think Viacom has really taken a step back, and they're trying to analyze what's going on, because they've had a lot of issues with the Fresh Beat Band, and the Fresh Beat Band was their golden ticket. They got the jump starts, and they put together through a casting call this band, and it was very much a mathematic formula for them. And then they said, okay, we're here, and you guys have a brand, and now, you know, they were able to kind of jigger someone in and jigger someone out very quickly season one for whatever the contract or whatever the issues were. But now here they are season four and five. And from what I'm told in the industry, they had like a stalemate in contract negotiations because the actors wanted more money, saying, we're the characters now. You can't do this without us until you replace us. And so I think, you know, you're looking at that, and I think there, once again, is the idea of why Kids Bop is so successful for now on their 28th album, is because they very much have a two-year plan with these kids, and the kids go off, as opposed to these bands that have to be around and have to have staying power. Like, can you name one person other than Lori Berkner that's been around in this kid space for, you know, 15, you know, for 10 years or 15 years at this point? I don't, you know, like, to me, the only person I know that's done that is Raffi. And Raffi's still now coming back and doing the performances once again. I missed him this trip around when he came to the city. But, you know, I grew up on Raffi, and he's still around singing about Baby Beluga in the Deep Blue Sea or whatever it was.
Justin Roberts is probably getting close to doing it for a decade now. And Dan Zanes, of course. I mean, there's bands like Rhesus Monkey is on like year 8 or so, I guess. I mean, there's definitely bands that have been out there for a while. I just wish that more families would kind of give that a chance instead of bemoaning current pop music or bemoaning or letting their kids just listen to whatever and then bemoaning the fact that you're all of a sudden raising mini adults instead of children. Because there are choices. This isn't 1994 anymore. It's not just a bunch of like old white guys with acoustic guitars singing folk songs. Like the world has changed. And, right.
But Dan Zane, I will say, is Dan Zane is one of the nicest guys. I've met him several times. I have a signed ukulele by him from a great show he did at Fishy Eddie's, which was incredible. But I will sit there and say that I tend to agree. I think there's a lot of compression that we put into our kids' lives these days, whether it's the radio and the music, whether it's the television. You know, look, I have a six-year-old that at four was watching the Avengers movie, which is a very PG-13 movie, not so much about, you know, blood and, you know, gore, but it is, there is definitely the idea that you're killing aliens and aliens are dying all around. But he started that young, and I understand that I put a little bit of compression into that kind of staging, but I think there's a lot, I think that conversation about compression and knowledge is really hard. I don't know if so much it has to do with music. I think a lot of people aren't in tune about what's going on in the world of music, in the world of Kindy. I think that's really hard because I don't think there's really any radio stations out there, maybe other than XM Sirius.
Kids Place Live, yeah.
Maybe other than XM Sirius, I don't think there's one station that's going to sit there and be like, let's dedicate Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings to kids' music. There you could turn on the radio and bop around and have like good, wholesome radio. And I just don't think that exists.
I don't think so either, no.
And I know there's some playlists on Pandora and on Spotify that do it okay. But once again, I look at those playlists and they still sit there and they chunk in the Disney Channel, they chuck in the Nickelodeon Viacom stuff, and they chunk in the kids' bop. And so it's still very much a mainstream mix with interjections of, you know, that independent music. Drew, what about you? What do your kids listen to?
My kids, they listen to Kids Place Live at least for another 2 days before we cancel XM. but they've been listening to that. We also listen to a guy that Allison and I really enjoy, and his name is Ellis Paul. And Ellis Paul has put out a few children's albums. Actually, the first album that Eva ever got was The Dragonfly Races, which is his album. Then he put out an album recently called The Hero in You, and actually put out a book. The Hero in You is really interesting because it's about all of his childhood heroes and his current heroes, and their children's songs about those heroes. So people like Thomas Edison and why are they all going out of my head right now? I can hear the songs, and they're Jackie Robinson and a whole bunch of people like Rachel Carson and just a whole bunch of different people, and even knows who all these people are. Rachel Carson specifically, because my sister in science and she's so in tune to that world. And this is a great album that not only teaches kids about, you know, different kind of people who can be heroes and why they're heroes, and but they're excellent songs as well. I mean, Ellis Paul is an amazing songwriter, and we really enjoy his stuff. I like Steve's songs. His things are fun. I've gotten a few of those different albums because I do the PBS Kids VIP program, which is the Very Involved Parent program. And, I try to get the kids to listen to some of the other things that we enjoy. We have like the Margaritaville. We like Jimmy Buffett. So, different things like that. But most of the time my daughter's listening to the Barefoot Books podcast, which is Barefoot Books is an independent book publisher that's based in the UK and in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And they put out a number of different books where they delve deeper into the stories of traditional fairy tales and things like that. But they have all the books all read by like Hugh Bonneville reads a number of them. Who else reads them? Some Cynthia Nixon reads some of them. And so what they do is they take those books that have the CDs that have the stories being read, and they put it out as a podcast through the Barefoot Books podcast. And Eva listens to that every night before she goes to bed. So it's not just music, but she also gets a lot of literature and stuff too. And these are, anyway, it's not like, you know, the Disneyfied version of Snow White or things like that. It's like Coppelia and different operas and a whole bunch of other things that she listens to, and also across a number of different world cultures.
Wow, that sounds really cool. I've never heard of that. I'm gonna check. I'm gonna, my girls would love that. But you're right. You're totally. Ellis Paul is tremendous. Dragonfly Races is an incredible album. I highly recommend anybody who likes singer-songwriters and really good acoustic guitar work to check that out. And Steve Songs is a lot of fun. That guy, Steve Roslick, he's a super nice dude. And
oh yeah, I met him. He's really cool.
Definitely skews young, but it's fun and genuine. It's not cheap. It appears a little cheesy at times if you're coming to it for the first time, but it's actually really heartfelt. It is not somebody just going through the motions. Like, there's a lot of kids musicians. There was a guy at a few years ago, or God, more than that now, because this was back when my youngest was still going to like a daycare / early learning center for a couple days a week. And there was a kids musician, just one of these, you know, generic local guys that kind of give kids music a bad name across the country. Just one of many of those types of people. And he, you know, just is like a ham and a goofball, but then off stage, it's like the, you can just see the regret and the self-hatred just dripping off of him for that's what he's doing with his life, and wouldn't talk to the kids. Like, once he was done and he got his check, like, he was done. He punched the clock. And real kids music isn't like that at all. Like, they will talk. They're not in character. They're just, they love what they're doing. It's not a career choice. It is, they love performing and being an indelible part of childhood for thousands of children. So, Steve Songs is one of those guys. It seems like it might be a little corny, but he is all in on what he's doing. It's really awesome. So anyway, just to sum that up, yeah, I mean, check out Barefoot Books like I'm going to, and then just Google Kindy. I mean, I have a podcast, another one, the OWTK Kids Music Monthly Podcast. It is free. It's out there on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, and it's 10 songs every month of the best and brightest of modern kids music. I call it that we're living in the golden age of family music, because there's never been as much diversity of genre, of types of people performing it. There's hip hop, there's punk, there's electro pop, there's singer songwriter, there's charming, like Shins type of quirky indie rock. For kids, there's all kinds of music being made by real people who genuinely love kind of reconnecting with their own childhoods and their own memories. And maybe they have kids themselves, maybe not. Maybe they're just writing it from just mining their own experiences. And it's really awesome. It's helped me, one, as a lover of real music, and I grew up with indie rock music, so it kind of fit perfectly. But it's helped my kids be kids more, and have something that they've been able to call their own, that they've had a unique personal relationship with the context of the music that they listen to. So it's not about going down in a sexual way. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about what it's like to be in fourth grade, what it's like to get a new baby sister, what it's like to wake up and be wishing the night before that it was going to snow so you'd have a snow day. And those, like, there's nuance and there's subtlety, and it's about the childhood experience. And it's been beautiful just sitting back and watching that for the past 7 years, the impact that music has had on my two girls, who are still very much children, even though they're almost 11 and 7 and a half. We just got a new album, we couple that. I mean, my children have seen probably more music than most children or most people will in their entire lives, both kids' music and grown-up music. I mean, we go to music festivals. We see lots of grown-up bands that curse and stuff. I don't have a problem with much of that. But at the heart of it, they still love the stuff that's for them. A new album just came. It's there's a kids musician who is just incredible from Central Pennsylvania named Billy Kelly. He's like four albums into his kids career. And there's a lead singer of a band called Lunch Money down in South Carolina. Her name's Molly Ledford, and they have paired up on an album together that comes out on the first day of spring next month. It's called Trees, and it's incredible. It's such a terrific record. Her songs are heartfelt and just painstakingly gorgeous, and he is a goofball, very witty, quick-witted goofball, and they make for an incredible pair. And my girls are just, they have the record and they're just playing it on their own CD players, carrying the CD player around the house, plugging it into different outlets so that they can, they don't have iPods yet. I still like to make them carry a boombox around like they're an 80s DJ or something around the house and spinning records. And it's an awesome thing. They still find it hilarious. They still find it awesome, even though one's almost 11 years old. So by all rights, by all metrics, she should be well out of this, but it's been a part of her life, and it's something she's not needing to run to find something that's hers. She's had her own music since the day she was born. And that's the real thing. That's the real beauty of what I try to talk to people about. You know, everybody's like, oh, kids are going to run off and find whatever pop music is popular and run away from their dad's music, who's been forcing it on them since they, and with a badge of honor that my kid listens to Dylan like me. But then when they're nine, they're like, screw that. And they go find their own music. I'm like, I don't experience that. My girls like what I like, a lot of it, not all of it. And admittedly, a lot of the music I listen to is hard to like. It's strange and noisy and screamy at times. But they're not running away from anything because they don't need to. They've been holding hands with stuff that speaks to them since they were toddlers. Anyway, that's my sales pitch. That's my I dial up my sales pitch for that. Hello.
Once again, so not in my Baldwin.
whoa, dead air.
No,
I brought down the house with that one.
Yeah, well,
that's soliloquy.
Yeah, you had a nice run on the idea of independent music. I don't know. I don't see the thing about living in the city is when I listen to music, it's mostly in the car.
Yeah.
And since we live in the city, we're never really in the car that much.
Yeah, that is a different experience.
So, like, we jump on a subway, and, like, I know that when the kids get older, you're going to end up with the earbuds in their ear, and you're not going to hear them, and you're not going to talk to them. But, like, right now, I kind of am trying to teach my son some of the subway values of, like, be a good neighbor. When you see a pregnant lady, stand up and, like, let her have the seat. When you see an elderly person, give up the seat for them, you know. And then, you know, trying to make sure that they understand, like, keep your head on swivel, watch what's happening, you know, notice the guy that looks a little crazy. That he's giving you the crazy eyes, and you got to pay attention to that. So I'm trying to teach him a little bit more than just have him zone out and put the earbuds in and not pay any attention anymore. So I think that's where I'm at in life. And I think it's a very different experience than, say, if I was driving 20 minutes to get here and 20 minutes to get there, and the only thing you have to do is either turn on an iPad in the back seat or listen to the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of like shocked to see that more and more cars haven't come with like built-in Wi-Fi into the car. Like, hey, if you're going to pay $300 to lease this car, you get some Wi-Fi plugged in.
Right.
And I'm starting to see that more and more on these cars that come out, because they understand that kids these days, while, like, you know, 10 years ago, the big thing was putting a flat screen LED in the back seat and a DVD player. Now the big thing is putting Wi-Fi so the kids could still stream their Netflix and YouTubes and everything else they want to check out.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure we will see that in cars. Just be standard in cars for in the very near future, no doubt.
I was actually talking to someone the other day about all these self-driving cars, and I'm like, within 30 years, the idea of driving is going to be like, well, back in the day, kids, you had to put your hands in the pedal and you had to drive yourself. Now it just does it on its own.
Yeah, little freaky, but yeah, you're probably right. That will probably be the way it happens. I'm a little nervous about that. I won't, like, I don't like roller coasters because I'm not in control of them. The idea of getting behind a wheel of a, well, the non-wheel of a car and just going for a ride kind of freaks me out. Not that I'm a complete maniac control freak or anything. Not at all. Not at all.
Well, not at all. So how much of this coming trip do you have planned to the 19th tee?
Which trip is that? That's the funny thing. I do not micromanage my vacations. I like the splendor of just of wonder, of wandering, of getting lost. You know, if we go to Barcelona, where we were a few years ago, like I didn't look up anything really. I just wanted to wander the streets. And if we find a cool place to eat, cool. If we don't, well, whatever. I'm not leading up to it. I mean, like finding the best prices for stuff, and I love doing all the planning of that, but I do not like to plan minute by minute or even day by day, really. Which actually drives my wife a little bonkers, especially when we're in a foreign place or in a city we've never been into, even if it's in this country, to not. But we've sort of made a pact too. I've written about this somewhere where, you know, one of the things, like, I no longer worry about, I mean, I don't like to be a tourist at all. I mean, I try not to do the tourist stuff. I want to assimilate into a place, but we both have made the agreement that, you know, if we miss stuff, that's the must-see things, fine. We're not going to, like, push our kids, you know, because we walk everywhere. We're big walkers and public transportation when we're somewhere. If we're in a city. And so we would try to, like, you know, grab the kids and, like, run place to place to just see, to just check boxes. We're like, we're so done with that game. And it's, everybody's miserable. Everybody's tired. And yeah, we saw everything, but we didn't experience jack. So, we definitely just sort of kind of roll with it. So yeah, not as big a control freak as I was just joking about there, at least not when it comes to certain things. I do like the Skylanders. The amount my youngest counted, the 63 she counted, we have. I do like them to not be scattered all over the floor. That is the one thing one of the things that I ask for. I like them to be by element and in order. That would be nice.
I can agree with you there.
Which they enjoy doing. I mean, they have weddings and children. Thank God there's mini Skyland, you know, the minis, because that all adds a whole new offline play element for my children. They're pairing up and having kids, and it's quite hilarious. But yeah, as long as they're all together in a lineup, that would be nice. Because stepping on a Lego hurts. Stepping on a Skylander in the middle of the night, depending on who it is, chop chop, I'm talking about you. That is, if you're upright, those blades, that is not comfortable, for sure. So anybody... Go ahead.
That would just drive me crazy. I mean, my kids, they don't play with them as toys and only in the game.
Really?
Yes. You told me once that one of yours was broke, you know, got broken. I was like, Oh my God, I'd lose my mind.
Ah, yeah. Flashwing is properly named because that is singular. She has one wing. Who else? Hex lost her arm, I believe, in a tragic downhill skiing accident. And somebody else is missing something too. It might be one of the winged ones. I feel like they've made them stronger now. The plastic molding is definitely better. Those early, all the ones that we lost pieces of were the first series, the Spyro's Adventure one. I think the molding is getting stronger. But yeah, our kids, my kids play with them way more offline than they do online. I mean, they are folded into Lego play and dolls. It is all a big jumbled mess. And they're always out. They're out right now. I'm looking at, well, it's dark, but if the light was on, I could see them across the room. She just put them in element order again and counted them at my request because I was curious. I didn't know how many we had. And I just ordered Gear Shift. I'm very excited. Gear Shift will be here on Friday. You know, she was all over the place when the game first came out. And I was like, I don't know if I want to buy anything. And then all of a sudden, she's nowhere to be found. And Amazon just got it back in at regular price. It was like $26 yesterday, and now it was $15. I was like, hey, there we go. So we go after all the – I have two daughters, of course. So we go after all of the girl characters first and foremost.
Yeah, we kind of – I don't know. Mark's never really been into the girl's character so much, but I just picked up the Valentine's Day what is it? Love Potion Pop Fizz.
Yeah.
And so that is on a shelf, and he doesn't know it's in the house, and so he'll be super soaked. And we actually went to Times Square Toys R Us just a few days ago, and they had nothing. And I mean nothing that was unique. Like, they didn't have any light and dark. They had no unique traps. Like, it was just the regular, like, very common traps that have been out there and very common characters. Like, there was no like, great,
that's,
you know.
That's the scene at my Toys R Us, too. I think, does anybody know when Wave 4 is coming out? The next, Drew, I'm talking to you here.
I don't know when it's coming out. I did go looking for Love Potion Pop Fizz, which is actually supposed to be exclusive to Best Buy until I think this coming weekend. Then because my Toys R Us had no clue about it, and they usually don't. I usually have to tell them.
I will say I found mine at the local GameStop. They were not out front. They were like behind the characters. I guess like someone knew, like, or someone was hiding them. But there was two of them left, and I found one of them, and I saw the other one. I was like, maybe I should buy it. And then I was like, you know, I really don't want to be that guy, because I hate then trying to find the friends to then buy it or give it to and send it to them. So I think from now on my plan is just get the ones I need for Mark and be done. I'm definitely very much, we don't have Tough Luck yet, and I am definitely like trying to figure out how in the world and where in the world you look for those crystal Tough Lucks.
Crystal Tough Luck, what is that?
It's a character who's all completely see-through.
Whoa.
Except for her Treptanium blades, which are green. But she doesn't look like that in the game. We talked about last
week. Oh, okay, yeah. One of those.
She's kind of like a cat.
She's an awesome... I mean, we have her. She's an awesome character, but I didn't know there was a variation of her.
Yeah, I follow a lot of people on Instagram who they must trade with each other, or there's some that they trade with each other, and they're always finding all of the specialty ones. They've got people like, all over the place finding them.
I don't get it.
Like, I'm Google Image, so I'm pulling it up right now. Wow, that is cool looking.
Right? I actually just started following this guy on Instagram, Skylander Couple, and they got all the flocked ones over the last few years, and those to me have been like the hardest ones to find. I've never seen a flock in person.
No. I don't even know what that means. Is that a word?
Yeah, flock. It's the idea that it's like it's fuzzy on the outside. Remember like fuzzy stickers when we were kids growing up? So it's that idea of like, you know, I don't know what kind of element it is, but it's like, you know, some kind of carpeting that's on top of the character.
It's like felt.
Right, like a spray-on felt.
Yeah.
That's on top of the character, so it's like a green thump stock or something that's, you know, flocked. And it's very cool, and I've never seen one in person. I've never seen remotely one, you know, where I could be like, oh yeah, I could even reasonably buy it. It's like hundreds of dollars on eBay.
Yeah. Wow.
But I don't get it. Haven't seen it. I don't know where these people are getting them.
That Crystal Tough Luck is so – I'm on eBay, $100, $180. Nobody's bidding on them. These are all these buy it now. I don't know what the actual market value of this is, because – well, here's one with bid, $76 ends tomorrow. That is such a wicked – I normally shy away. My oldest daughter just kind of refuses all the legendary characters, like the versions. She likes the original ones. Some of them, where they're all just one color, it just isn't very interesting looking. This thing is pretty rad. That is a cool design.
I love the glow in the darks. I found one or two of them on eBay for regular, like $6 to $7 price and $3 or $4 shipping. So I picked up one of those true glow in the dark ones. I haven't really done much of the eBaying thing just because the prices are so outlandish and it's just so not worth it. But when I was in GameStop the other day, they just started getting in, because GameStop is now doing the individual characters that you could buy on used individual characters. So I was going through the bags because the guy knows me and I'm there a lot. And So the guy knows me. He's like, hey, you want to check these out? These are what we just got in. They'll be like, we're skewing them up this week and they'll be for sale next week. And I was like, all right, well, let's see what we got. And so I did find a legendary Nitro. Is that the guy with the sword?
Nitro. Is it the new game?
No, like two or three series ago.
So there was legendary. Let's see. There's Chop Chop. Is it Inferno? Yeah, Legendary Inferno.
Legendary Inferno. I found one, and I have never seen him in stores. I have never seen him when I look at friends' collections, but there it was, and I was like, "Can you put this one aside for me?" He's like, "You got it." So in a week I'll have that one, and I'm curious to see how much they charge for that. But he like went through it and he was like, there's a bag of junk. And the next one was a bag of junk. And I saw the sword and I was like, wait, that looks like someone we don't have yet. And so he was like, oh, that's a good one. That's good.
We don't have that yet. Well, the price just went up.
Yeah.
Cynical me, I know.
Well, whatever. As long as it's a used character, so it can't be more than $9, right?
I would hope not. Yeah.
What other games are you guys playing other than Skylanders these days?
I'm playing Super Smash Brothers. I'm enjoying that. Mario Kart. I actually picked up my Disney Infinity 2.0 again because I started playing the Guardians of the Galaxy playset, which it's all right. I mean, I've got all the characters. I might as well play and see what the game's about, because I pretty much leveled up every single one of my Skylanders figures. So I was like, well, I'll find something else to play with. So
the girls were into Infinity a little bit when we first got it. Not even so much the game. I don't even know if they ever actually played the game. They were just playing in the toy box and building stuff. But they haven't touched that in a while. It's been all Skylanders here. I mean, I don't even know if we have Mario Kart and Zelda something, Wind Walker, and some Mario thing that came with the Wii U, but like Nintendo Land and that kind of stuff. But it's pretty much just all Skylanders around here. We're not, as anybody who has listened to me talk on this podcast can probably guess, we're not huge game people. So we don't have a ton of stuff. And it's hardly ever on. Like, we play Skylanders like twice a week for a couple of hours. That's about it. And our deal, and I don't know if I've ever said it on here, Drew's heard this before, we only ever play as a family. So from the first game, like, it's just sort of our tradition with Skylanders. Nobody's ever playing that game without all four of us together. Because we used to have the Wii, so one person, when my girls were really young, I mean, the first game came out, what, 4 years ago? 3.5 years ago? Mouse was four, and she would either just be the portal master, just in charge of pulling people off and when we were about to lose them, or she would just handle like the firing, and somebody would be on the nunchuck and she would have the controller with the A and B button. The Wii U controller makes that a little harder because now somebody is doing it by themselves. But we still always play it together. That's kind of our thing. Which is why I honestly was just thinking, I don't know if we've ever finished any of the games. I actually don't know what happens in any of them at the end. Hopefully we'll finish Trap Team, because this is by far the best, in my opinion, the best Skylanders game to date. It is so incredibly good, and the trapping the people is such a cool gimmick. And the way the sound works, I'm just infatuated with the way the sound really feels like, you know, without any sort of sound bars. We have the Skylanders is hooked up to just our regular TV, so we don't have surround sound or anything. But the way the sound transfers from the television to the portal and the speaker that's in the portal really makes it feel like they're traveling from your TV screen down into the portal. It kind of blows my mind every time it happens. Like, such an awesome, the nuance in the sound production of that is, and the timing of it and how that works is so great. And I love swapping out for making the bad guys good and then using, like, Broccoli Guy is just legendary. That is such a hilarious character. The voice and his the stuff that he says while he's locked up in the trap is so funny. I just can't believe it. I really can't believe how funny it is. I've laughed more. The story scrolls are just so off the wall ridiculous in Trap Team. Everything about it's great. So hopefully we will actually finish this game. Because it takes us so long to play. Like, the next game has been coming out before we even finish. And then we're like, all right, I guess we'll just start playing the new one. We have no idea what happens to anybody. Hey, can we do a little speculation here? I've been thinking about, how does this game end? Don't tell me that, because Drew, you probably already know. But if you're trapping Chaos, pretend you don't know. If you're trapping Chaos, does Chaos not in the next game?
I don't know.
Oh, see, you know, and you're not going to say it. But and also, in my estimation, there has never been a Skylanders piece. I'm probably wrong, and it'd take you 5 seconds to put me down here, but that you can't use in a future game.
Well, I think all the magic pieces kind of suck.
Well, but you still can use them. They're still usable.
I don't. I don't get it. I don't like. Like, in the last game, you could put, you know, the Sky Diamond down, and you could run up hundreds and thousands of coins. And this one, it came with a piggy bank, but it doesn't do anything. Like, I'm totally lost on some of these magic pieces, and I don't get how they age into the games. And I think that if you go back and look at some of the board pieces where you're expanding a level, I wonder what they do in these. Like, I know we have...
We just found that out. We tried to...
Those ones...
They turn into like a magic item, right? Like, we put the ice one, Empire of Ice or whatever, and it just started like raining ice down.
Yeah, they turn into a really powerful weapon. And
yeah.
You can use it like almost like a light core character, where you put it down once and it just wipes out the board. You can use once in a while when you're in your really dire straits. Against some powerful characters, but otherwise those sit in a box overall, because once you turn them on the board, any of the locations, you don't need it again. I liked how from Spyro's Adventure to Giants you were able to use some of those magic areas again, but that stopped after that game, and so those old ones became weapons at that point.
So here's why I brought that up. What I'm curious about, what happens to the traps? Are traps now just a permanent part of the game, or will they become the first thing that have no use going forward? Because if the next fifth one doesn't have a trap, or doesn't have a spot for it, they're going to be just like waste, which would be a first. Like, and I think you're confirming that, because everything has been able to come forward. It might, maybe not in its original form, but it's been useful in some way. What happens with the traps?
The traps are the same technology that the characters are on. It's all based on the RFID chip kind of mentality. So I think it'll just be the idea that instead of having a trap holder, you just lay it down in the portal, and then all of a sudden it'll know what character or some kind of, whatever the magic is that is doing it, whether it's RFID in the game profile. It'll probably work in some way of being like, oh yeah, there's a character here and I got it. Great. Because you could take your trap from, like, I have a Chaos trap, and, we had another one at one point that kind of went missing because I think someone stole it. Bastards. But I think the Chaos trap, you put your character into it and you take it to any machine and there's your character. So I think in some way that these are more read-write than the other ones. But I think there's something about the idea that you could write to these RFIDs a little bit and they have some kind of memory to them. And so I think when you put them down on the next portal, it might not have a trap holder, but you'll be able to take your villains with you. And at some point, I think they have to, to say, okay, we're no longer covering the original set of characters just because we need to now go for another 60 characters. Right, because at some point you have to say that's enough, right? Like, right now we're at four versions. How many versions do we have? Trap Team? We're at four versions. So yeah. At the fifth version, don't you think it's time to drop version one and just say these guys don't go anymore? These guys can't work?
I don't think they're going to do that. I think, you know, they've incorporated in all the way through, and then they just came out with all these, eight Eons Elite characters. Yeah. So you spend $25 on a character, and then in game five, they're like, nope, this Elite character can't be in game five.
No, yeah. I'm not saying that. I think the Elite will still be there. I'm saying that in version one.
Man, okay. I better still be able to use my original stealth elf. That's my homegirl, man. She's my like secret weapon. Whenever I'm struggling with one of these new people that we haven't leveled up, I'm like, I scream down to Mouse. I'm like, Goose still loves being the portal master. I'm like, give me stealth elf. That's who we need. She's the best. If I can't use her in the next game, I don't know. Beast Boy's not involved in Teen Titans. You're telling me Stealth Elf might not be available in the next Skylanders game? This podcast is getting to be too much.
So really. I want to make sure I understand you clearly, Adam. So you're saying that your existing characters that you have, you're wondering if those aren't going to be usable?
Right. I'm thinking that at some point, they're going to say that, okay, we're going to cover Giant and Swap Force and Trap Team, but not Spyro's Adventure. And eventually they'll just slowly, like, you know, going forward, they'll eventually have to do that. But then again, I think there's also something to the idea that there's a series of characters that have always been common throughout the game, like Spyro, like, you know, where every year they have one. I think this is, like, the first time they don't have an Eruptor, right? But I think there are characters that have been featured in every game that have the same body build so that you could put them on there. Like the ones that are reverse playable. Like you could buy a Swap Force Eruptor and still put them on Spyro's Adventure and it'll work.
Right.
So I think there's something to those characters that are unique that they should be able to carry through endlessly. But then there are a lot of characters that aren't like that where they aren't backwards compatible. And I think those guys won't work.
I think, did they announce the Fire Eons Elite? I think that's probably going to be Eruptor.
I have a good feeling it's going to be Eruptor. And yeah. I got to tell you, the gut feeling inside of me wants to say that it's going to be awesome looking, but I really hope it's kind of modeled after the Macy's Day Parade.
Yeah, that one was a cool figure to get.
Yeah.
So Jeff, with Stealth Elf being your girl there, are you getting the Stealth Elf Elite figure?
Oh, probably not. We don't have all of them. We have Ninja Stealth Elf and the original one and Mini Whisper Elf. I don't collect all the Stealth Elves. I love the original one. She's, you know, regenerates her health, and she's just so badass. I do love myself a hand-to-hand combat fight. I like fast characters who fight. Like Chop Chop's my second favorite character. I love two weapons, one in each hand, and hand-to-hand doesn't shoot anything. I enjoy that kind of fighting. I was a Civil War buff, so I still appreciate that just running at somebody, bayonet style, not just hiding in a bush firing away. It's dirtier.
Well, while I'm looking at this, I went on the GameStop website, and all of a sudden they have the pre-owned figures now listed, and so you can buy a pre-owned figure for $3. I'm just wondering, like, how can you find like the crystal ones and the stealth ones and the I don't know. They got to have some method to have like the rare pre-owned, right?
Yeah, you would think.
Possibly.
I'm so excited about Wave 4 though. The shortcut character, because we don't have all of the Trap Masters of all the elements yet because I only want one of each. I'm not somebody that needs to have every character, you know. So, but I don't want the ones that are out. Like, I don't want Gusto. I want the other dude from Air. Thunderbolt, I think. Thunderbolt. And, yeah. And I don't want Crypt King. Not that I can find him anyway. I want Shortcut, because he looks hilarious. So we're just kind of, we can't do everything. Oh, that's the other cool thing I like about this game, is that the whole idea that, like, it's forcing you in a way to go back to old levels and find things that you're like with the light and dark that they were announced like after the game was out. And so like there were already things built in, like these unknown gates. I think that's really cool to like make it replayable, to continue to be finding things even if you've already completed the levels. I think they've done such a great job with this one. It is far and away my favorite so far.
Well, it'll be even more replayable when you finish it.
Stop it. If we finish it. We're like on level 10 out of whatever it is, and it's already February. The new game will be announced in a few months, and maybe we'll be halfway through by that point.
Well, I don't think it's not going to happen at Toy Fair. No, there's not going to be a booth at Toy Fair.
Wow.
So, as wow. Adam and I know.
I'm so sad about that.
I know. The figure. The exclusive figure.
Yeah. Well, maybe there'll be something up at Time to Play.
Who knows?
Yeah. Well, this was fun, guys. My computer's about to die, so I don't know how much longer I could go here.
I do think we have to now say that we've now done our talk of Skylanders to death.
Yes.
And you know, I think we need to put a rest to that and move along.
Totally. Just want to shout out to the first ever graphic novel to get a Caldecott honor. The Book Awards came out this week, this one summer. Very, very – I've not read it, but it's very, very cool that graphic novels are starting to be recognized for literary prizes. It's a kind of – I was going to throw that in after our comic book discussion because it's sort of along the same lines of just getting respect for an art form. Very, very cool. Very, very cool.
Okay, I haven't read graphic novels in years, so I guess.
It's awesome. It's an awesome medium for kids, especially maybe for reluctant readers or to bridge the gap between comic books and novels, you know? It's a very cool thing, and it's nice that they're being read, because there's some really cool work out there in graphic novels. And so it's like Zeta and the Space Girl, although I don't know. I don't know if that's considered a comic book or – I don't think it is. Anyway, it's very, very neat. And yeah, I wanted to end with something that wasn't Skylanders.
Very, very cool. I think we all could testify that we're going to be Skylandered out for a little bit.
Yeah.
And, so what I would love to end this podcast with is a call to action. I would love it if you're listening to us, give us a tweet at DadFM. You know, five characters, you can put it together, say, hey guys, we love the podcast, this is what we'd like to hear you guys talk about. I know that my kind of saging kind of wise words to leave this podcast is, next week we will be right at the end of Toy Fair and at the start of Dad 2.0 when we start filming this. And over the next few weeks, you're going to start hearing that we're going to change formats a little bit. We're going to make a much shorter show instead of this long marathon talk. And we're going to get into a new format. I think it's going to be great for everyone. And I think I'm hopefully thinking that you guys will enjoy it more, that those people that are really sticking with us and listening. So thanks so much for joining us tonight on Dad.fm. Check us out next week.
Bye-bye.